coming up on Renewed Mindsets. Join me today as I talk about the age-old struggle of resisting Satan and navigating a world where tolerance often blurs the lines of acceptance. Join me as I explore the strategies to combat evil influences while maintaining integrity in a society that values tolerance above everything else. This is going to be a good one. Let's go, boys. Hey, welcome to Renewed Mindsets, where we study the basics of the faith through the lens of our middle-aged experiences. I'm Rick. Welcome to the show where I help you Gen Xers and millennials navigate spiritually through a world that looks nothing like we expected back when cars were square and mullets were totally awesome. I am so glad you're here. You know, I just love Google sometimes. I don't know how we operated in a world without useless information being able to be found in seconds with the internet. And I was talking with someone on the telephone, and we were talking about the devil. And that person said, the devil made me do it. And it made me think, I grew up hearing that phrase. Where did that come from? So I hit Google with it. And it's really strange that according to Google, they use an n-gram graph and they look through media over the years, through the past, to track words and phrases. And that phrase, the devil made me do it, took off around 1970. Now, since this is a Gen X show, I was alive in 1970. I was two. That was the year I turned three. But I still remember certain things, and that's about when I remember it, when I was a little kid. What it was Flip Wilson. Y'all remember him? Comedian. Was on that show Laugh-In.
You said it's much more difficult for the devil to get a woman to do something wrong than it is a guy. It's a big, no problem to get a guy to do something wrong. They're just standing around waiting for the devil to tell them what to do. As soon as the devil comes up with one, devil say, I got one. All the fellas start yelling, I'll do it, devil. I'll do it. You know, and he was telling me how relentless the fight against the devil has to be. Rev said, the devil doesn't sleep. You know, so the devil don't sleep. While we were asleep, the devil was working on his notes. So when we wake up in the morning, the devil say, here's your schedule.
And this is why you listen to Renewed Mindsets. Because where else are you going to hear a laugh-in outtake from Flip Wilson today on a podcast? And one of his skits, one of the things that he said all the time was the devil made me do it. And that's where it originated, or so Google says, because it started taking off around 1970. So we have grown up as Gen Xers with the devil made me do it as part of our, I don't know, what's the word, lexicon? Picking fancy ones here today. So I get in the Bible, 1 Peter 5:8. Peter warns the church about their adversary, the devil. And he says this, that he roams around like a roaring lion, searching for someone to devour. And then in verse 9, he says, resist him. Is Peter serious? Can you imagine resisting a 350-pound cat with 4-inch teeth that can bite with a force of 650 pounds per square inch? Now, to put that in context, a human's bite force is about 150 pounds per square inch. So initially, the idea of resisting the devil, resisting Satan, seems absurd. Because on our own, we're even less capable of resisting Satan than Eve was in the garden. With our own strength, we would willingly carry out Satan's work, just like Judas did, acting as obedient children to a wicked father. But God appointed a Savior who would crush the head of the serpent. When Jesus was on earth, he plundered Satan's house, Matthew 12:29, declaring the arrival of his kingdom in verse 28. The disciples that Jesus sent out discovered the demons were subject to them in his name. And Jesus told them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Look, I have given you authority over the power of the enemy. Luke 10:17-19. The Apostle John saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding the key to a bottomless pit and a great chain. He sees the dragon, that ancient serpent, who's the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. That's Revelation 20:1-2. And it prevented him from fully deceiving the nations. So how can we resist that? The devil still prowls and devours, but he's fighting a losing battle. Believers are right to expect that God of peace will soon crush Satan under their feet. Romans 16:20. When believers are united with Jesus, they're stronger than Satan. Yet Peter still instructs us to resist the devil. Now, how do we do that? I got a few ways. First, renounce the devil. Just renounce him. During your baptism, Christian baptism symbolizes a transition from death to light, a death to life, darkness to light, and from being under Satan's authority to be united with Christ. Renouncing the devil means to no longer recognize or abide by his authority, which is who we were in authority to until we became Christians. It's a proclamation of emancipation, a revolutionary act. It's a declaration of war and the beginning of a lifelong resistance. The second thing is we can't give the devil any opportunity. Ephesians 4:27. The devil loves chances to establish himself and to gain more ground. You need to identify and close any doors that the devil might use to gain closer access to what's most important to you. The things that you watch, the things that you listen to, the people you hang with, your speech. We were brought up thinking that those things don't affect us, but the devil's in all the music. The devil's in every movie and TV show. Just watch it and tell me it's not. Every time we subject ourselves to an outside influence like that, we're opening a door to let the devil in. And even though he might just stick a toe in, the next time he's going to stick another toe in. Eventually, he's going to be in. We need to prioritize the wearing of the full armor of God. That's from Ephesians 6:10-20. It says, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The devil is cunning and scheming. To stand against him, you have to put on God's defensive and offensive provisions. We need to be vigilant, and we need to be alert. 1 Peter 5:8, the devil finds it easier to work in the hearts and homes that are spiritually casual. We are way too casual when it comes to God these days. God's not our buddy. God is the creator of the universe. He needs our respect and our awe and, yes, our fear. Not to fear him because he's mean and evil, but fear his wrath by not living in obedience. We need to be a faithful member of the church if we want to resist him. Attending church regularly to the point where it feels strange to be absent from church, that's the point you need to get to. Well, I have a life and I don't want to spend all my time at church. Well, what do you think we're here for? If you call yourself a child of God, then you know the importance of that. There's nothing wrong with baseball games. There's nothing wrong with watching TV. There's nothing wrong with going to the movies. As long as you're watching things that are not purposely going against God. But when your whole life is about doing things and pleasing yourself and going to church is a chore, you're either not a Christian or you're at the wrong church. I know that sounds a bit harsh. I've lived that life. I've been on staff as a youth pastor and found myself at times wishing that I was somewhere else, doing something else. Now, I can't imagine. I had to work out of town last week and missed Wednesday night service, and it was horrible. I just wanted to be with my family at church. I wanted to be worshiping God in His house. It's just a mindset, people. And that's why we're here, listening to Renewed Mindsets. The next way we can use to resist the devil is to immerse yourself in the Bible. Our houses are so full of media. We have TV. We have radio. We have streaming music on our phones. We have social media, TikToks, Facebook, Instagram. We are overloaded with media. But you have something else in the house, which is called a Bible. It's probably the most important piece of media that you own, and probably, statistically, the least used piece of media in your home. 1 Peter 2:2. Read it, believe it, memorize it, and discuss it. We need to pray against the works of Satan. Jude 1:9. Martin Luther advised us, said, since we are too weak against the devil and all his forces that stand against us, our only course of action on earth is to pray ceaselessly against this ultimate enemy. Praying is so important. It should become something that's not specifically set aside for you to do, but you should get to the point where you're in constant prayer with God. Get in the habit of doing it. Make it a point to find something in nature. If you drive for a living, what I did is I drive a lot. I don't drive for a living, but I'm in my vehicle a lot. And I like to see the trees change colors. I like to see them get full in the summer and turn green. And then as the leaves start, I notice the trees. So I found myself making it a point when I see trees to talk to God. Lord, thank you for such a beautiful creation that you've made. At first, it was just talking about trees. But eventually, that opened it up to where I'm constantly talking to God about things, thanking him for his creation, talking to him about my life, praying for other people. It's not that I do this 24 hours a day. I'm still failing at prayer. But I pray a lot more than I used to, and I can see the benefits of it. Because part of prayer is listening, and I've heard God speak so many times where I never heard it before. Start your prayer life. It's never too late. Next thing, believe that Jesus is greater. At the cross, Christ defeated Satan. Hebrews 2:14. Believers overcome him by the blood of the Lamb that was shed on Calvary. Revelation 12:11. These were just a few suggestions. There's eight of them if you go back. Didn't really get into a lot of detail. Just kind of want to throw some stuff out. If you want to know any more about it, you can always contact me at our website. There's a contact form. Or you can email me at rick@renewedmindsets.com. But we need to be encouraged. James assures us that the devil will flee from those who resist him. That's James 4:7.
Welcome to Wisdom for the Day, the podcast where we unpack the timeless wisdom of the book of Proverbs, one bite-sized nugget at a time. Join us daily as we journey through this ancient treasure trove of insight, offering practical wisdom for modern living. Get ready to start your day with clarity, purpose, and a deeper understanding of life's greatest lessons. This is Wisdom for the Day, your daily dose of Proverbs wisdom. Find us at wisdomfortheday.org.
One of the ways that the devil gets to us that we need to resist is in society. And one of the big ones today is there's so much division in right and wrong, in classic definitions of what is right and what is wrong, what is truth, what is a lie, what is a man, what is a woman, what is marriage, what is not marriage, and vice versa. It brings us to tolerance. The biggest separation between Christians and non-believers is tolerance. As Christians, we know that we must tolerate. It's such a harsh word, and we're going to discuss it here in a minute with actual definitions. But we must tolerate those who don't have the same viewpoint. And we should do it in love because we were all in that position at one time and did not know the truth. So we have to give grace, but we have to resist the devil because he has gotten so sly that now the opposition, who in the past used to know that their sin was sin, but just wanted to continue playing in it. But there was a reverence and a respect for God. But that is no longer the case. People now, just like in the days of Noah, are flaunting their sin. They're laughing in the face of God. It's become perverted. It's become sickening. The definition of tolerance has actually changed in our lifetime. So let's discuss that. Can the Bible foster a tolerant society? Now, some argue its emphasis on love and mercy and compassion, like the Good Samaritan tale and Jesus' teaching, supports tolerance beyond mere acceptance. But there's other people whose point of view shows us instances like the conquest of Canaan and Jesus' warnings about hell as evidence of intolerance. So how can the Bible promote or prevent tolerance? I think the question we need to ask is Christianity intolerant? Now, there is increasing skepticism and criticism towards Christianity in today's culture. And in these situations, the concept of religious tolerance often arises and is discussed. Christians are frequently labeled as intolerant, especially when judged based on a new definition of tolerance that's emerged in our society these days. Now, how are we supposed to respond when people accuse us of intolerance? It's simply because we choose not to embrace certain values or behaviors. Well, first, we have to define what tolerance is. So I looked at yourdictionary.com. Tolerance is defined as the ability to accept or embrace views, beliefs, practices, etc. of others that differ from one's own. Furthermore, to tolerate something as stated by the same source means to recognize and respect others' beliefs and practices without necessarily agreeing with them. So, as defined by the dictionary, to tolerate is to put up with or endure something. Did you notice something here? In order for tolerance to exist and to be demonstrated, several factors are necessary. So let's examine the prerequisites for tolerance. First, you have to have two or more individuals, and they must coexist. Two, these individuals need to hold diverging views, beliefs, or practices, meaning they disagree. And three, despite not embracing each other's beliefs, these individuals must peacefully coexist without eliminating one another.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Hey, I just want to tell you about an incredible podcast that has truly impacted my life. It's Christ Alone Podcast. It's not your average show. It goes above and beyond to combat false doctrines that twist the true message of God and the amazing character of Christ. It's hosted by two friends of mine, Stevens and Angie, and each week they equip you and empower you and encourage you for a world that seems to be moving further away from God every single day. You can find their episodes and all their resources at ChristAlonePodcast.com, and they're available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, so it's real convenient to hear them wherever you are. Join me and countless others that join in every week to listen to Christ Alone Podcast. Trust me, you won't be disappointed. Dive deep into truth and let the transformative power of Christ lead you towards a brighter future with Christ Alone Podcast. Now, under this traditional perspective, tolerance requires disagreement. Without disagreement, tolerance becomes impossible. Now, let's consider the new definition of tolerance that's gained acceptance in our new society. And you know what that is. You got to notice the shift in definitions. The concept and the word acceptance has been added to the definition in a way that subtly alters the classic definition. This new perspective suggests that we must not only endure each other in the context of our disagreements, but also accept and embrace each other's worldviews as equally valuable and true. The current definition of tolerance would sound something like this: the act of recognizing and accepting the equal validity and value of all views, beliefs, and actions. That's wrong. We need to highlight the self-defeating nature of this new definition. This new definition of tolerance fails to meet its own standards. What if I hold and practice the belief that all views and beliefs and actions are not equally valid and valuable? Can the new corrupted definition of tolerance tolerate my position? No. Clearly, my position would have to be eradicated for the new corrupted definition of tolerance to hold true. But rejecting my view entirely would simultaneously reject the new definition itself. This new corrupted view of tolerance can't withstand the weight of its own standards. The world currently embraces an illogical, unsustainable, and self-refuting view of tolerance. And it's our responsibility as Christians to help people think clearly about the topic of tolerance while continuing to love and tolerate their opposing views, using the classic sense of tolerance. Introducing something all new from Renewed Mindsets. It's Renewed Mindsets TV. It's an extended, expanded version of your favorite episodes of Renewed Mindsets in video form. With the same information and fun and humor as you've come to expect from Renewed Mindsets, but now you can look at me and laugh. I don't know if that's good or not. It's available at renewedmindsets.com or at YouTube. Just search for the channel Renewed Mindsets TV. Just like and subscribe to be notified when new videos are uploaded. That's Renewed Mindsets TV. See ya! Well, that's all for this week's show. You know, the name of this show speaks my hope for you. It's taken from the words of Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. If you enjoyed what you heard, do me a favor, please, and tell someone you know about it. Send them a link in a text. You know, you may even need to download it to their phone and show them what a podcast is. If it was valuable to you, it will be to them. Visit renewedmindsets.com to hear past episodes, read the blog, and check out the new merch. And as always, while you're there, send me a voicemail by clicking the button at the bottom right corner of the main page. Tell me what you think about this show. I just might play it on a future episode. Until next week, I'm Rick. I love you.
See ya. Parody promotional consideration paid for by... Do you suffer from hardness of heart? Millions do. In fact, HOH is the world's number one preventable cause of spiritual death. Progressive symptoms include, but are not limited to, dull ears and dim eyes, darkened understanding, diminished compassion, and frequent trips to evil. If you're experiencing and causing others to experience HOH, you need Confess It All. Confess It All is made from all natural ingredients, including pulverized pride, raw humility, and pure pharmaceutical-grade gratitude. It can be taken in unlimited doses as often as needed and is free of charge through the Eternal Assurance Program. To learn more, dial 1-800-PRAYER and ask for Sinner Assistance. What happens when you take Confess It All? According to the manufacturer, patients experience immediate forgiveness and cleansing from all unrighteousness. Long-range benefits include replacement of the old stone aorta with a freshly grown heart of flesh. Side effects include joy, peace, kindness, hope, renewed sense of purpose, newfound patience toward others, even the really annoying ones, and too many other things to mention right now, so ask the Holy Spirit and He'll fill you in. Are you human? If so, you should be taking Confess It All. Unless you're perfect, which, like, only one guy ever was, so, duh. Ask your doctor if Confess It All is right for you. If he or she says no, well, why are you asking your doctor? Talk to God today. Confess It All, making your conscience as clear as our side effects.
Okay, Rick, let's try a few more taglines, okay?
Yeah, sure, no problem. Confess It All, because honesty is the best medicine. Confess It All, where the truth sets you free, and maybe a little queasy. Confess It All, because life's too short for skeletons in the closet. I don't even get that one. Welcome to the Renewed Mindsets Bible Trivia Snack Pack Value Meal Game. The game where you, the valued listener, gets to hear and answer a Bible trivia question. You email me your answer, I'll take all of the emails with all the correct answers and pull one at random, and that person is going to win an awesome prize. An awesome prize that's worth...
$1 million.
Or less. Down to the amount of a dollar, maybe? No, really. It'll be something good, I promise. So let's go. So, of course, the rules for this game are easy. Answer the question, send me an email, and you win your prize. It's going to be open book. I'm assuming that you're going to have to look it up. If you don't, you're really good. And here's your question. What is the central theme of the book of Ecclesiastes? Why am I playing clock ticking music? I'm not going to give you the answer. You're going to have to send it in. I'll talk to you next week about it. And for my radio listeners, you have 24 hours from the end of the last broadcast to get your email out to me. Y'all are going to be included in this too. Send your emails to trivia@renewedmindsets.com. Thanks for playing Renewed Mindsets Bible Trivia. Good luck. See ya.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Drop it.
Hey! I hope you're enjoying these shows as much as I do. Providing value in the way of conversations, interviews, and content. So many of you have asked me how you can be a part of the show. Well, let me tell you. You can become a member of the Renewed Mindsets community. Just go to buymeacoffee.com/renewedmindsets. You can support this ministry with a one-time gift, or you may choose to send a recurring gift every month. We have several levels to choose from, starting at $2, all with extra benefits from being listed on the website, cool merch from the Renewed Mindset store, and even two top-tier spots, the Gabriel and Michael levels, where one of you will be mentioned at the end of every episode as a producer of the show.
Drop it.
How cool would it be to have your name heard around the world? Your support of this show helps me get God's message out to people who might not hear it somewhere else. This just helps me with podcast-related expenses, the websites, and all the subscriptions, as well as supporting an alternative school option for the kids at my church. Look for the membership link in the show notes, and have a great rest of your week. See ya!
The executive producer of Renewed Mindsets is Yelena McClellan. We have two openings for other producers. Visit us at buymeacoffee.com/renewed mindsets for more information.